Barton Simmons, national writer with CBSSports.com. In addition, he's director of scouting with 24/7 Sports as well. Barton, it's that time of year. First of all, welcome back. Thank you for taking time out of your Saturday to join us. And we're getting ready to get to the stretch run as far as this year's football season.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the thick of it right now. Playoff rankings coming out every week. There's jostling there, and a lot of meaningful games. Even right now, as we speak, this is a busy morning of games that actually have some weight to them.
Absolutely. You know, we look after the last poll came out on Tuesday night from the College Football Playoff Committee. 11 teams I've got circled that can still realistically have an opportunity to be one of the four playoff teams. You mentioned early action. How about the way, look, as I watch Alabama, you know, I understand the defense is not as strong as it has been in the past. I get that. But that offense tells me this team, looking at it from an eye perspective, this team is one of the four best teams, you know, playing college football this year.
Yeah, but I think that the defense is a real concern, though. And as you compare this team out, look, to me, there's clearly Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU right now. But even LSU, when you compare those three teams, there's only one of them that has had a defense that has shown some vulnerabilities, and that's LSU. And Alabama is right there with LSU, obviously, in terms of having as good of offense as there is in college football. But a defense just isn't quite Alabama standards, and I think that's what's slightly different about this team than, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, sort of your typical Alabama team, and I think that's good enough to beat everyone in the country, with the exception of those top two, maybe three teams. And so, I agree with you. They probably, I think, are probably a top four team. That's my hunch. But I think because of that defense, there is a vulnerability. There is an Achilles heel that can be exploited, that can be dug into when you're comparing Alabama to the other teams in the country. It's a little bit like, and maybe not quite to this extreme, but I think it's a little bit like Alabama's become a little bit like the Oklahoma teams that we've seen in recent years. They're going to score, but they can also give up some points. And so I think that's going to be interesting if it gets to the point in the playoffs where you are sort of creating some eye test comparisons. How Alabama is handled, given who it has played this year and how the defense has been less than perfect.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that it's interesting when you hear it from a national perspective, some of the backlash that Alabama is getting. By the way, they're already on top of Mississippi State 21-7, 3:22 to go in the first. Najee Harris with his second touchdown run of the morning. And how about Tua Tagovailoa, 7 for 7, 137 yards, and one touchdown. Let's see, if we had his performance in the second half last week against LSU with so far what he's done today, I would love a do-over between Alabama and LSU.
Yeah, that'd be good football. There's no doubt about that. And it would be nice to see it, because whenever that comes, and if that comes, it would be after a little reprieve for Tua to really heal up that leg. And I do think, and this is plays in Alabama's defense, I really believe that Alabama was hindered by Tua's injury. I think that fumble early in the game that was sort of caused by nothing but just lack of concentration.
Right.
I got to believe that was about him worrying about that leg and worrying about what's to come instead of worrying about ball security. I think the same could be said for when there are interceptions down the line as well. I just think that injury, and football's football, you got to deal with injuries. But if there's a healthy Tua, I really think that things are different in that game.
Well, and, you know, going back to when we look at if you're a proponent for Big 12 teams, you can't, you know, give the insults to Alabama's defense while bragging about how Big 12 should have had a team in the college football playoffs, because what you're seeing, and it's not even as bad as what we've seen as far as defensive play in the past as far as the Big 12. It's just down from an Alabama standard. It's still tough to, you know, you still got to execute if you're an opposing team taking on Alabama's defense.
Yeah. So here's the sort of, oh, I don't know, objective counter argument to Alabama. And it's sort of when you compare, and everyone's just assuming Alabama is a top four team. And again, I would probably say Alabama is a top four team too. I would probably on a neutral site take Alabama over everyone in the country except for the top three teams. That said, when you compare Alabama's resume with Minnesota's resume, another undefeated team, their strength of opponent average in the S&P Plus ranking, Minnesota's about 60th, Alabama's about 47th. So a little better for Alabama, but not dramatically better. They both played a top 10 team with Penn State and LSU. And when you look at what they've done, and I guess what I'm talking about here is conference games, Power 5 games. In those six conference games, the point differential is an average of 23 for Minnesota, an average of 21 for Alabama. The yardage differential, an average of 158 for Minnesota, an average of 106 for Alabama. So Alabama isn't dominating teams the same way it did even last year. That's not to say they're not dominating teams, but if we're talking scale, if we're talking, just the minutia and really digging into the details, I mean, you can make a case that Minnesota's been more dominant over the last month and a half on their schedule than Alabama has. And so I think all these points, and I say that again, because I do believe Alabama is probably the fourth best team in the country. But I also think when we look at these things, in so many cases, our eyes can be wrong. Our what we think can be wrong. And so I do think that as good as Alabama is, and I also think that we should give credence to what happens on the field. I'd love to see Alabama play LSU again, but I only want that to happen if someone else doesn't go and earn that spot in that fourth spot in playoffs.
And then I would also counter that argument with Minnesota. When they took on Illinois was not good. Nebraska, not good. Rutgers, awful. Even as bad as Vanderbilt has played, I think Vanderbilt handles Rutgers, for example. And then Maryland, although they got off to the good start, they have played awful as well. It's tough. And if you're not playing the same opponents, it's really tough to gauge and try to compare with some of these Power 5 conference teams. I just know that if you're Minnesota, you can't schedule the way you did as far as non-conference. Same thing with the Baylor, and expect to get recognition from that playoff committee.
Well, I think I'd push back on that because, Illinois may not have been good when it played Minnesota, but, I mean, when do you get good? Because 2 weeks later it beat Wisconsin. So when do we say Minnesota was good? Nebraska is an average team this year, but so are a lot of the SEC teams Alabama's beaten. So is Ole Miss. So is Mississippi State today. And while Rutgers is terrible, is Rutgers a whole lot better than Arkansas? They probably aren't. And so, and the non-conference, sure. I mean, Minnesota didn't schedule much of a non-conference, but frankly, neither did Alabama this year. And I would say probably collectively, the non-conference that Minnesota has scheduled might top the non-conference that Alabama has scheduled. So, that's why, and again, Alabama's strength of schedule probably still a little slightly better than Minnesota, so I'm not going to go and say that Minnesota has played a bunch of juggernauts, but I think when you are, when you're comparing, teams that don't play the same teams, and when you're sort of trying to make these projections and judgments, a lot of this stuff isn't as cut and dry as we want to make it sometimes, and I think it's it makes it really difficult, again, in my opinion, to just say, well, look, my eyes tell me that this team's better than that team, and so I know better than what's happened on the field, and I just think we can get in trouble that way, and so sometimes I lean towards, even if a team like Notre Dame last year, hey, maybe they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs, maybe there was a better fourth team. But Notre Dame hadn't lost, and I would lean more towards letting a team like that go and fail spectacularly, but rather than miss on the opportunity for that team to go surprise us all and win that game and say, you know what, they actually did deserve to be in there. So it's an interesting debate that we're having this time of year, and I guess we'll have every year that the playoffs are a 14 playoff. But there's certainly a balance there that I think has to be found.
I do want four teams. I was throwing this out earlier this week about eight teams because every year we would have got at least one, if not multiple, two-loss teams. Two out of the last 3 years we would have had a three-loss team as one of the eight teams. I'm not ready for that yet. Hey, by the way, James Franklin, in things I've heard this week, that he might be interested in Florida State. Everybody just assumes that he's certainly cut and dry, happy in Happy Valley. Things could get interesting. Here's Penn State losing last week, right, to Minnesota. They're down at home to Indiana with a minute and 37 to go before the end of the first quarter. Indiana on top of Penn State, 14-10. Here's Penn State. If I'm James Franklin, if I go to Florida State, I got the nice recruiting grounds in the state of Florida. Only have to deal with really Clemson. If I'm Penn State, just inside my division, I have to deal with Ohio State, Michigan State, and then this pesky Indiana team, for example.
Yeah, I think James Franklin strikes me as a very ambitious, competitive, calculating person. And I think he is someone that ultimately he wants to be genuine and authentic in where he is and give it everything he has. But I also think that he wants to ultimately be in a position that allows him to be as successful as possible. And so I don't necessarily think he retires at Penn State. I think that the challenges from a recruiting and geographical perspective is real there. And it's even a little easier to get to Columbus than it is State College. It's a little easier to get to, I don't know about Ann Arbor's got a little bit of an access point at Detroit, but I just think he's someone that is going to want to be in the thick of it and want to be have all the advantages he can to win a national championship. I think he wants to be a national championship coach. And so it wouldn't shock me if he looks at Florida State and says, this is a place I can win a national championship,
right,
and have a better chance of winning a national championship. I could also see him saying that at USC. I could also see him looking at Florida State and saying, you know what, there's a lot of advantages there, but the administration, the president's office, the athletic director, all that is not in line the way it needs to be and the way I have it right now at Penn State. And so maybe now's not the time to make this move. But to your point, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he at least considers it, deliberates on it, listens to what Florida State has to say if they decide to pursue him. I haven't heard anything one way or the other on that, but I do feel like I have a sense on, how James Franklin would approach things. And I think he wants to win a national title wherever that might be.
There's more fire, and because that smoke is there. He is one of those names that's being considered, and the buyout is reasonable. I think it's, at $1 million? That's something that Florida State can afford, mm-hmm. And so don't be shocked that his name, because I don't think Bob Stoops is returning to the college football landscape. I don't think he wants the 365-day, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Hey, Barton, before we let you go, remind everybody again the ways to keep up with your coverage.
Yeah, 24/7 Sports, CBSSports.com, at Barton Simmons, the Cover 3 College Football Podcast, all places you can find me.
Barton, have a wonderful college football Saturday. Thank you again for taking time out with us, and we look forward to joining you down the road.
Okay, you bet. Thanks, Johnny.